We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Well, it's time for the big picture here on Crimson Drive, presented by Tuscaloosa Toyota, as we get a national view of Alabama football. And today we're talking with David Ubben, who covers college football for The Athletic. And David, first of all, it's great to see you. And I loved your SEC takeaways column this past week in The Athletic. And you just simply had the title, "Alabama is Fine." Was that your major takeaway from Saturday in Starkville?
Yeah, I think, you know, this early in the season still, you're never quite sure when teams are lying to you. I mean, I think Florida, when Florida challenged Alabama, it was easy to sort of think, well, is Florida going to really, you know, push and do they look like an 11-1 team? That has not been the case. But so after Texas A&M beats Alabama, you're kind of wondering, because A&M had been so underwhelming for the first, you know, 5 weeks of the season. But, you know, you're waiting to see them sort of flex, and that's what we got against Alabama. I think obviously they were well-suited to slow down the air raid, did exactly that, you know, no touchdowns. And when you don't give up a touchdown and you're Alabama, you're probably going to win just about every time.
What have you thought so far of the play of the Crimson Tide offense, especially the quarterback Bryce Young?
I think the biggest thing is just how versatile they are. I mean, you know, when they want to air it out, they can. When they want to take it to the ground like they did against Ole Miss, they absolutely can. The offensive line is really, really good. And I think that, you know, can set up a lot of things. If you look at some of the advanced numbers on Bryce Young, he's got a lot of time back there. And he's got most of the time when that happens, good plays are going to happen downfield. So I think for me, the biggest takeaway from Alabama's offense is just the versatility and that they can win a game in a number of ways, you know, downfield, across the middle. If they need to dink and dunk, they can. If teams just want to open up the umbrella. And if teams are going to put four guys in the box, five guys in the box, they're more than willing to mash you. So when you can do that, we can win a lot of different games in a lot of different ways. That's you know, a team that's capable of doing a whole lot and making a whole lot of noise, you know, come time.
Yeah, the Crimson Tide have played seven games. Of course, they've won six of them, but a lot of people are still talking about the one loss in College Station to Texas A&M. Kind of watching that one from afar, what were your main takeaways of that night?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is I haven't seen Alabama's offensive line confused like that really maybe ever. It's been a long time. You know, they fixed some of that issues and some of those issues in the second half, but Texas A&M was able to build up enough of a buffer that it was tough for them to come back. And I think, you know, we haven't seen, once Alabama took that touchdown lead in the fourth quarter, it kind of felt like, well, they're gonna crush A&M at this point, and that didn't happen. So I think, you know, concerning that the defense that's been really good for most of the season couldn't get a stop when they really needed one. And then offensively, you know, you get the ball back late in the game, a tie ball game, and it looks like, well, they're in really good position to make a game-winning drive here. You don't get it. I think I went 3 and out on that drive. So really kind of a failure all around there. A lot of chances to win that game, a game that Alabama probably should have won, and they didn't. And it was shocking to see because obviously – as the 100-game winning streak against unranked teams would suggest, when Alabama's supposed to win a game or in position to win a game, they do that. So, you know, it certainly set off a lot of alarm bells. We'll see if we see more things like that later in the season. But ultimately, if you've got as much talent as Alabama does, you've got a pretty big margin for error. So we'll see over the last month and a half or so of the season.
Another team with a ton of talent is the Georgia Bulldogs and the other division in the SEC East. Does it seem like we're on a collision course for a huge, massive game coming up in December between Alabama and Georgia?
Absolutely. I mean, Alabama got to get out of the SEC West. I mean, there's still some opportunity there for somebody else to sneak in. But ultimately, just walking away with the SEC East. And it looks to me – you know, I think Alabama obviously the best team in the West. They just got to prove it. But I want to see that game. And I think, too, you know, Georgia, where, you know, it looks like this is the year for them. They've certainly got the best team in the country right now. It would feel wrong if they didn't have to go through Alabama at some point. Maybe that's twice. Maybe that's and then in the playoff. You know, if Alabama goes to the SEC championship and beats Georgia, Alabama's going to the playoff. So I'd like to see that. I mean, I want to see it at least once. I probably wouldn't mind seeing it twice. Honestly, I think that game, it's just very different when teams like Ohio State and Georgia and Alabama get on the field with each other. It looks like a different sport because of all the talent that's all over the place. So, you know, it would feel wrong if Georgia didn't have to beat Alabama to go to the playoff. And I want to see that ball game just because it's great for college football. I mean, those are the games that people really look forward to. And as a college football fan myself, I want to see it.
Absolutely. And you always love seeing great players play well. And so far this season, Jordan Davis has done that. Speaking of the Georgia Bulldogs, why have you felt like it was time to kind of talk about his Heisman opportunities as you look at an outstanding defensive player like him?
Because I think he's really the piece that makes Georgia's defense really go. He can open up so much for them. You know, you can't run on them because he's plugging things up and pushing the line of scrimmage back right in the middle and plugging up everything. Defensively, you know, him as well as the rest of their defensive line, you know, when you can rush 3-4 guys, you know, Kirby Smart, you can do some things coverage-wise on the back end that really are difference makers. And so Georgia – you know, they've got this defense that's probably, you know, one of the best we've seen in 10 years or so, probably since around that 11 Alabama team. You know, seen the best defense we've seen in a long time. And the biggest reason why, granted, there's a lot of talent, but the biggest reason why, literally and figuratively, is Jordan Davis. And so, you know, not to mention just a physical freak, 6'7", 6'6", 340, just an unbelievable player and really fun to watch. Well, fans haven't watched him before. Take 10 plays when Georgia's on defense. 10 plays on Georgia defense. That might be 3 possessions the way they're playing. But go keep an eye on him, and he's something to watch.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And kind of along those lines as well, I mean, you mentioned the Heisman. A lot of people are with Alabama are pointing to Bryce Young, but maybe there should be some discussion as well about Will Anderson Jr. because he's been, like Jordan Davis, unstoppable for other teams.
Yeah, I mean, what, 4 sacks on Saturday, I think, against Mississippi State. So he's played really, really well. But I think ultimately it comes down to, you know, Alabama wins. They're a little bit, you know, a team that's, you know, you've got that star quarterback, obviously, in Bryce Young. When it comes to Heisman voting, it's a fickle process. There's like 800 voters. It's not the greatest process in the world. There's a lot of folks that don't pay as close of attention, and it's tough for defensive players to get a lot of shine. Even when, you know, in a year where there isn't that sort of super duper mega star who's putting up 500 yards and four touchdowns every single week. You know, this is a year where a defensive guy could shine. But I think for me, the reason why Georgia is winning games, especially why they're still undefeated when you look at that Clemson game at the start of the season, is because of that defense. Alabama looks a little more balanced. They've obviously got a really good defense, but the offense is doing some really good things as well. So I think ultimately for me, Georgia's defense is why they're great. And the linchpin of that pushes Davis as the guy for me. But Bryce Young is right there. Matt Corral is right there. I mean, this race is still really, really wide open. I think certainly if you're looking at betting favorites, it's Corral and Young right now, kind of neck and neck. And we'll see how that plays out in the last month and a half of the season.
And sticking with Alabama's defense for a moment, you cover college football for The Athletic, but you've also covered Tennessee heavily in the past few years. So just what have you made of the transition from Henry Toto'o from Tennessee to Alabama? You got to know him a little bit when you were in Knoxville.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately he's still got a lot of improving to make, but he's a playmaker. His football IQ is off the charts. When you look at, especially in the run game, his read and react, his ability to see what's coming. And part of that is just because of work habits. And you know, he's does pretty much everything you'd want from a player in terms of preparation, understanding what offenses are doing, and then having the physical ability to take advantage of that knowledge that's in his head, taking that from his head to the field. He's just a stellar, stellar player. Obviously, you know, in coverage, some improvement there, but he's still pretty young. But, you know, when you have that work ethic, when you have that physical ability, and when you have, you know, just in general, the acumen that he has, some of the intangibles that he has, you know, there's a lot of reason to believe he's going to be able to make that. But when your football IQ is as high as it is, you know, he can do a great job of sort of quarterbacking the defense, getting everybody in position. He did a lot of that at Tennessee. So a guy that has a chance to be a really special player by the end of his career.
Tennessee is the opponent for Alabama coming in this week. And what can you tell us about Josh Heupel's team on the field? And we know there's a lot of talk about the Volunteers for some off the field things at the moment, but what are they bringing to Tuscaloosa on the field?
Yeah, well, off the field things that came onto the field.
Right. That's true.
But no, I think, you know, the biggest thing I've taken away from Tennessee this year is, you know, coming into the year, it felt like, well, they're probably going to score some points. But the defense, you know, in part because of Henry To'o's exit, but Quavarius Crouch as well, you know, Kevon Bennett, DeAndre Johnson, they lost a ton of pieces in that front seven. Bryce Thompson also for the left for the NFL, one of their best corners. People thought, well, they're going to give up a ton of points. And on paper, that looked to be the case. But their defensive metrics are up across the board. They faced 101 plays against Ole Miss, gave up 31 points. That's pretty impressive. And so this defense has been better than anyone could have possibly predicted. And I think that is keeping them in some games. You know, they haven't really gotten smacked around. They didn't play well in the second half against Florida, but they've hung around, and this will be a big test for them. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they could push Alabama a little bit. I mean, I think Alabama just too deep, too talented. But this is not quite, this doesn't have quite the same walkover feel that it did in some of Jeremy Pruitt's teams, where you're like, there's no universe in which Tennessee can be competitive or win this game. Just by the way that they play and all those things. And there's some universes where Tennessee could come make this a really close game. You know, so we'll see.
And how much does this offense change from Hendon Hooker, who put up some great numbers against Missouri and South Carolina, versus Joe Milton, who started the year as Tennessee's starter, kind of with what happens with that quarterback position on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of difference in what the offense does. I just think ultimately Hooker, you know, if he's healthy and able to play, which I'm not so sure he's going to be able to, he's just a little bit more accurate, and he's played a lot more football than anyone else on this roster, and you can kind of see that. The poise is there. You know, both those guys can make plays with their feet, but I think with Milton, it just comes down to he's been operating this offense much more efficiently. When guys are open, he's hitting them, and we didn't see that with Joe Milton. They had guys running open against Pitt earlier in the season, and you know, he was overthrowing them just about every time. And then, of course, you know, the final play against Ole Miss, you need to put it up in the end zone and you just sort of drift out of bounds. That's going to cost you some capital with the coaching staff, with your players, you know, with the fans as well a little bit. So, you know, Milton, the talent is off the charts. The measurables are off the charts, but the production has to be there. We haven't quite seen that yet. So, you know, Hooker, he doesn't wow you quite as much. The ball doesn't jump out of his hand in the same way that it does to Milton. But the production is there, and he's settled into becoming the guy. So a poorly timed injury for him. It looked really bad on Saturday night, but it looks like it might not be something that keeps him out for a long time. But I'd be kind of surprised if we see him play against Alabama.
Visiting with David Ubben of The Athletic. Of course, so we love the coverage that Aaron Settles provides kind of on a daily basis of Crimson Tide football for The Athletic. But what else can you tell us about what you guys are providing in terms of covering college football? Really, if you love the coaching carousel, no better place to go than what we've seen The Athletic the last couple of weeks and what's going to be a crazy college football offseason.
Yeah, we had a Secrets of the Coaching Carousel series of stories last week, and looked at, you know, for what are the toughest jobs in college football. Alabama actually got some votes. I can't say that I would necessarily agree. I think a lot of people would say that people are overrating the Alabama job based on who's in it, who makes it look very, very easy when it is absolutely not. So that's somewhat of a case, but it's around the expectation. I don't envy the guy who follows up Nick Saban, but just looking inside the coaching carousel, my colleague Brody Miller had a fantastic piece looking at what happens and how you go from winning a national championship to getting fired in 21 months. And it makes a lot more sense if you haven't paid attention reading Brody's piece and some of the off the field stuff and why the on the field product looked the way that it did. That was really a fantastic piece from him. So our college football team, you know, I think we can hang with anybody. I mean, we are really big, and we've got really talented people. Obviously, Bruce Feldman, Stu Mandel, Andy Staples, Nicole Auerbach, Matt Fortuna. We got a lot of folks that do a lot of really quality work. So come check us out. Subscribe if you haven't yet. And whatever you care about in sports, we've probably got you covered. Whether it's Premier League, we've got a ton of people over in the UK. Fantasy football. MMA, auto racing, all that stuff. And then, of course, whatever pro sports you got, we got a good college basketball team. And then, of course, our college football team. So if you care about it, we're probably writing about it on a pretty frequent basis.
You guys do a great job. And, David, you're at the top of the list at The Athletic. Just thank you for joining us here on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, and wish you all the best moving forward. We'll see you.
Thank you.